spinning circuit wafer sliced past Edwin, nicking his cheek. Blood squirted out. Reuben could just make out the calls of the other Void Hawks in orbit above Atlantis, trying to calm their rampant cousin. They all started to alter course for a rendezvous. Together, their distortion fields could probably nullify Enone's supercharged flailings. Then the most violent convulsion of all kicked the crew toroid. Reuben actually heard the walls give a warning creak. One of the consoles buckled, big skin-like creases appearing in its composite sides as it concertinaed down towards the decking. Coolant fluid and sparks burst out of the cradles. He must have blacked out for a second. Gravity was at a 40-degree angle to the horizontal when he came to and holding steady. "I'm coming! I'm coming! I'm coming!" Enone was braying. Horrified, Reuben linked into the Void Hawk's sensor blisters. They were heading down towards Atlantis at 2.5 G's. Reaction to the berserker power thundering through the energy-patterning cells made the muscles in his arms and legs bunch like hot ropes. Fast-moving specks were rising above the hazy blue-white horizon, skimming over the atomic fog of the thermosphere like flat stones flung across a placid sea. The other Void Hawks, their calls redoubled in urgency. But Enone was immune to them, to the Atlantean consensus's imperious orders, rushing to help its beloved. "They're too far away," Reuben realized in dismay. "They won't reach us in time." The consensus relaxed its contact with Oxley, allowing him complete independence to pilot the floundering flyer, letting his instinct and skill attempt to right the craft unencumbered. He shot order after order into the Vitech processors, receiving a stream of systems information in return. The coherent magnetic generators were failing, data buses were glitched, the fusion generator was powering down, electron matrix crystal power reserves were dropping. Whatever electronic warfare techniques Pernik had, they were the best he had ever encountered, and they were trying to kill him. He concentrated on the few control channels which remained operational, reducing the spin and flattening out the dive. The faltering magnetic fields squeezed and pushed at glowing iron streams, countering the corkscrew trajectory. Black Ocean and Lustrous Island chased each other round the sensor images at a decreasing rate. There was no panic. He treated it as though it was just another simulation run, an exercise in logic and competence set by the CAB to try and trip him. At the back of his mind, he was aware of further pandemonium breaking out amid the consensus. A ghost image lying across the flyer's sensor input visualization showed him Enone plummeting towards the planet. With only a kilometer of altitude left, the flyer lost its spin. The nose was dangerously low. He poured the final power reserves into raising it, using the craft's ellipsoid surface as a blunt wing, gaining a degree of lift in an attempt to glide curve away from the island. Distance was his only chance of salvation now. Streaks of reflected starlight blurred on the sable water below, growing closer. There was no sign of the electronic warfare assault abating. Pernik's resplendent silhouette winked out. Silence detonated into the affinity consensus, absorbing the entire planet's mental voice. Into the emptiness came a single, devastating identity trait. "Your attention, please," Latin said. "We don't have much time. Enone, resume your orbit now." The flyer's crashed systems abruptly sprang back into zealous life, and a shock-numbed Oxley was pressed deep into his seat, as it vaulted back into the sky. Lewis Sinclair watched keenly as the torturer manipulated Syrinx's mangled leg with a pair of ruddy glowing tongs and a mallet. She wasn't screaming so loudly now. The fight was going out of her, but not the spirit, he suspected. She was one tough lady. He'd seen the type before, back in Mesopia. Cops mainly, the Special Forces mob, hard-eyed and dedicated. A pusher Lewis worked for had captured one once, and it didn't matter what was done to the man, they couldn't get him to tell them anything. Lewis didn't think the possessed were going to gain control of the Void Hawk through Syrinx, but he didn't say anything, let them sweat it. It wasn't so much his problem. Possessing the island gave him a measure of security a mere human body could never offer. The range of physical sensations and experiences available to him was truly astonishing.